But if you have your Bible with you, let us turn to the Word of God. Time is going on, and we want to look a little bit at the Word of God here. We'll not read the whole passage of Mark chapter 8 that I was going to read. But how many times when we try to witness to people, to witness to the lost, we have to say, you know, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. There's many people and they like to say, well, who wrote that? Especially in Spain, that is what you hear all the time. Who wrote that? Because what we're saying is completely different than what they've heard during their lifetime, and they think we're making it up. And I says, no, this is what the Bible says, and this is God's Word. And of course, the Roman Catholic Church doesn't put any importance in the Word of God. Of course, their tradition is important, and they don't put the same importance in the Word of God as we do. But we praise God for the opportunity to be able to preach the gospel freely in the land of Spain. But of course, many, because it has never been an important thing in Spain, they just say, well, who wrote that? And that contradicts itself. And I says, no. The Word of God, although it's written down by 40 different men, there was one author, and that was the Spirit of God who inspired these men to write down what God wanted them to write down. But you know, if ever there was a possibility that those who criticize the Bible appear to be right, it seems to be here in this passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 8 and the verse 35. It says there, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now, is it not a contradiction to say that the best way to save your life is to lose it? Or that by losing your life, really you're saving it. What did the Lord really mean by these strange words? And before us lie some of the hardest lessons that the child of God has to practice. Nobody likes the implications of these words. Before us lie some of these hard lessons that it goes against the grain. But just before this, Peter, he had taken the Lord to one side to persuade him what he classified was absolute madness. And what Christ says there in the verse 31. It says there in the verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Peter probably didn't hear those last few words, because whenever Christ says, and be killed, that is what struck him. That is what entered his heart. And Peter's sincere advice was, look after yourself. That will never happen to you. Don't be going into harm's way. Don't be going down to Jerusalem. If I'm alive, that will never happen to you. And this, of course, is the basic instinct that we all have. To look after oneself. To avoid anything that may harm us. Even the animals. The creatures who do not have a soul, who really have nothing to lose by dying, will do all in their power to stay alive. Even though their existence is nothing more than a fight for survival in some of the most terrible conditions. And how many there are who live in perpetual fear of being eaten. How many of us would sleep well tonight if we thought someone could break in and eat us? Well, that is the life of many animals. We see their tremendous camouflage. Some look like a leaf, others look like a stick, and there's no end to the ingenuity of God whenever he created these beings. We stand amazed when we see these animals and some of these nature programs, or even if we go to the zoo, we see these animals and we're just stand amazed at the detail, at the design. But what I'm trying to say is that it is all to try and prolong life, to help these creatures survive the longest time possible. But when we listen to what the Lord has to tell us here in this passage, it seems the very opposite. To say he's going to Jerusalem to die seems like suicide and a loss that the disciples thought completely unnecessary. But the disciples did not yet realize that this was the primary reason why Christ had come into the world. He came to die. He had to die. Because there was no other way that the sinner could be justified before God. Without the death of Christ, we would be lost forever. God's law demanded justice. Sin has to be tried, it has to be sentenced and punished. And we know what the sentence is. The wages of sin is death. That is the punishment. And if Christ had not had been prepared to pay that price, man would be in the same condition as the demons tonight, and the devil himself, waiting for the just punishment of our rebellion to be cast into hell fire. But because of his love for us, a love that we can't understand, because we are just as guilty as the devil himself. However, instead of condemning us in the act, God gave his only begotten Son to die in our place. Thus, he opened up a way for the sinner to come to him through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, he had still not understood this. He wanted Jesus to look after himself and to live and start a revolution and overthrow the Romans and take back control of his beloved land. He wanted the liberation from tyranny, from the occupation of Israel, not realizing that Christ had come to liberate man from the tyranny, from the tyranny of the consequences of sin. Peter thought that the enemy was without, when all the time the enemy was within. Christ had come to defeat enemies worse than the mighty Roman Empire. Enemies that man found impossible to defeat, sin and death itself. And he did it. He did it on Calvary's tree. Now let us return to those apparent contradictions that the Savior pronounced there in this verse 35 of Mark 8. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. There's no doubt that the salvation, first of all, there's no doubt that salvation is totally free. It's a free gift offered to all. Nobody has to pay to receive it. That is the truth that Martin Luther realized back there in the 16th century. That the just shall live by faith. He was trying to climb up some other way. He was trying to pay for it. Not realizing that for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But although we say that, there is, I believe, a price to be paid to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus knew that the multitude were following him, just were there, mostly to see his miracles and to hear him maybe arguing with these Pharisees. They were not prepared nor interested in being true disciples of Jesus Christ. Christ, here in this portion, leaves three conditions to be a true disciple. You have to give yourself completely to him. You have to identify with his sufferings. You have to follow him in obedience wherever he would lead you. And if we live for ourselves, Christ says we will lose ourselves. But if we lose ourselves for his cause and the cause of the gospel, we will really find true life. And it's not the same to deny yourself now and again, to do a good for a good cause, maybe helping out in a good cause, than to deny yourself forever to do the will of God. Paul described it perfectly there over in Romans chapter 12 and the verse 1. Tells us there, I beseech therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He took this example from the Old Testament. How the people would bring in that animal, that beast, and they would offer it, they would give it over to the priest, and the priest would sacrifice that animal instead of the person. And Paul says, we have to present ourselves. Present ourselves, all of us. We have to hold nothing back. We are holy sacrifices. Paul also says there in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're bought with a price. Paul says in Romans 12:1, which is your reasonable service. He is not asking, the Lord is not asking for anything unreasonable here. Like Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 6:20, or he says there, we have been bought with a price. We are not our own, we are the Lord's. And he has every right to do with us what he wants. We are his property. We are a living sacrifice. You know, the pagans and even the Israelites, in days gone by, sacrificed their children to their idols. They were dead sacrifices. They were dead sacrifices. But our God is a God of mercy. He never asks for sacrifices taking the life, although He demands that we give our lives to Him in obedience. It is Christ, really, who lives within us that makes our bodies living sacrifices. He says there, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Even as there are people possessed with evil spirits, and they're not in control of themselves, of their own will, but are under the mercy of the evil spirit or spirits that possess them. And many of these spirits, let me tell you, have very little mercy. The life of those poor souls only consists in total misery. And we have that account there in Mark chapter 5 of that man who was possessed by devils living among the tombs. He was cutting himself with stones every day. He lived really a living hell. And we see this terrible life that he lived. He had no home, no family, no friends, no peace, no rest. He was continual pain. Although nothing as bad as hell itself, but that pain he had no relief of. And that was his life under Satan. That was his life under his old master. But we are under Christ. We are possessed with the Spirit of God. We are under His power, but thankfully, He is a merciful God. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. Oh, brethren, we are better under His control than under our own. As we say about many people, they're their own worst enemy. But whenever someone is guided by the Lord, you know, the Lord works everything out. Even the things that we classify as bad, we know work together for good to those that love the Lord. This sacrificing of oneself is assured by a continual denying of oneself, dying to self, denying to do your own will, to do the will of God. From the world's point of view, of course, they look on us as mad. They think we're crazy. That we're wasting our life doing this. The people nowadays don't deny themselves anything. As the slogan goes, if it feels good, do it. For them, the most important thing is enjoying yourself. Living it up. Breaking all the barriers that society and religion has erected. And even society today has broken all the barriers. They give themselves every type of pleasure and vice that takes their fancy. Live the life to the full, they say. But not for a moment do they think about the consequences of all this. They have swallowed the old lie of the devil. Ye shall not surely die. And if we don't do these things that the world does, but instead serve the Lord, they laugh us to ridicule, saying our beliefs are like straight jackets of misery on us. But the Lord says that if we live for ourselves, what the Lord here calls saving our lives, what I mean is fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, doing exactly what the old nature wants to do, we will finally lose the most important thing of all, our life with God. We must want to give the Lord our lives. Sacrificing the flesh, mortifying the body, battling a daily with the devil and with the world. Separating ourselves from the world. We should even be prepared to lose our life for Christ and for the gospel's sake, if that is what the Lord wants. But how many really want to hear that message? This may seem hard. But there's no other way around it, friends. The words of the Lord are clear. If we do not take up the cross, well, we'll not take up the crown. To live a life like the world is only evidence that we really never believed in God in the first place. How many fear to give themselves to Christ, to serve Him, because they fear what this may mean to them. It may mean sacrifice, maybe hostility from the family, might mean losing friends. Oh yes, means the study of difficult doctrines that many scoff at. This is too much for many. And they opt out to do their own will. not realizing that they are following none other than the devil himself. He may promise, you know, fun here without a fight. He may promise a world of pleasure instead of a world of hostility. But remember that those who accept his plan for their lives will also have to accept one day his end. Friend, you should not fear to take up the cross. You should not fear to take up the cross of Christ and follow the Lord, because he will give you strength for the work that he wants you to do. And he has. He has a job, I believe, for each and every child of God. We're saved to serve. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Down through history, there have been many who have taken up that cross. And they have found that his yoke is indeed easy and his burden light. Don't listen to the devil's lies. He will promise a lot, but he gives only heartache. Remember, some of the family were over for a holiday. We were down at the coast and I took them round to Puerto Banus. And there's a great big yacht there, like a great big ship. It was beautiful. Gorgeous big yacht. And we went down, walked along the marina. And there were some boys there at the gangplank. And I went over to them and I asked one of them, I says, when did you last see the owner? And he says, 2 years ago. That thing had been sitting there. And it cost an absolute fortune just for that to sit in that port. They're paying every day. I don't know how much money it is, but I know it's not cheap. 2 years. And you know, that same man, the owner, he spent all his workers' pensions and he ended up drowning himself off that same boat. He thought he had everything whenever he had absolutely nothing. How many have been delusioned with the reward of the devil? It's strange that the devil promises glory here, here and now. But those who believe his lie at the end will receive eternal suffering. And normally suffering here as well. Because many of the sins of this life carry their own punishment. How many lament the day that they ever tasted the devil's booze or ever partook of the drugs of the friends just to be one of the boys. Today they lament in tears, realizing that this has gripped them and has gripped them with a grip that they are unable to break. God does not con us into thinking that life is going to be easy. He said, you know, in this world you will have tribulations. There will be trials and tribulations. He hasn't said it's going to be a bed of roses. But you know, he's given us the promise. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. What it comes down to, friend, is do you really believe it? Do you believe God? Are you willing to trust him with your life? I'll do what the Lord wants me to do as long as it doesn't cost me anything. That's not giving your life to God. You give your life to the Lord and then he will use it in whatever way he wants. How many there are who are following the Lord under their conditions. This is where faith is tested. Are you willing to truly give yourself to God? Or are you following Christ under your conditions and not under his? Only you know the answer. It may not be God's will for you to go to Spain to be a missionary. I'm not saying it's God's will that everybody here should be in Spain as a missionary. That same man that was the terror of the tombs, who was so full of demons that those 2,000 swine ran down that hill into the water and drowned themselves. That same man, after that, he wanted to go with the Lord. He wanted to be the 13th disciple. He wanted to follow the Lord wherever he wanted to go. Christ says, no. I have someplace better for you to go. Go home. Go back to your village and tell the folk there what wondrous things the Lord has done for you. Of course, that was the best place for him to go because that's where he was known. That man didn't have to open his mouth to preach the sermon. All he had to do was walk down the front street. And everybody could say, there's the terror of the tomb. And look at him now. What made that difference? Christ. He met Christ. Is there people that can point to you and say, look at that man now. Look at that woman now. Look at the change in her life. You would know just to look at them that there's something different. Or can we just mingle in with the world and just look like the world and nobody would even know that we're a Christian? That man, he hardly had to open his mouth. But everybody knew that the power of Christ did that. They tried to chain him with chains and he broke them. But Christ broke those chains that the devil had him bound with. And there he was, a changed man. That's what Christ can do. And friends, you can be part of that work. Telling others of Christ and what he can do for you. It's a wonderful thing to be in the Lord's work. Have you really offered yourself to the Lord? Have you really offered yourself to the Lord and said, Lord, here am I. I'm here. I'm available for whatever you want me to do. You know, that's the best ability. I went into the Whitfield College, and let me tell you, I hadn't much ability. I'd never spoken in public before I went into the Whitfield College. I'd never even given the testimony. And I remember the first day I had to speak in public and near dying. I thought, how am I going to do this? I would have ran a mile. But you know, the Lord brought us through. The Lord brought us through. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to serve the Lord. That's the best ability, is availability. To say, here am I. I'm here maybe to hoover these carpets or to clean the toilets or whatever. Whatever you want, my Lord, I'll do it for you. Are you willing? Or you say, well, I'll go along. Well, if it doesn't cost me anything, I'll give a fiver for whatever. I'll help out. But don't ask me to go too. Friend, the Lord wants you. He wants you. Are you willing? Christ gave his all for us. You know, he had every right to turn around and go back to heaven and leave us to ourselves. But he was willing to go to the cross and suffer and die and bleed that we might be saved. Friend, what sacrifice can you give? That would be too much to give for him. Let's give ourselves. Let's give our hearts. Let's give our all. Praise God, he can use us. And he can indeed bless us. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his self, shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. May the Lord richly bless you.